Welcome back to the Four Podmen, the wrestling podcast we bring you each and every week on the Dynamo podcast. Head over to YouTube, smash that subscribe and bell notification button. Audio versions show are available through Spotify. And if you'd like to contact the show, we're on Twitter at TPodmen or on Facebook and Instagram, the Four Podmen. Joining me tonight for our Survivor Series 2021 preview, the podfather of the network in the Dynamo. Kelly, how we doing, Ian?
Love it, and I love to have my fucking boy Darren on as well. Darren's earned that four. He can put that up.
Before we go any further, show our viewers that shirt.
This one?
Yeah. London Calling, the Clash.
London Calling. Quality. It's not quite as gangster as your Death Row, but to be fair, it's probably a little bit more gangster if you think about it, you know?
I feel really underdressed in my little charcoal number from Next. Just... I feel like it's.
You know what though? Does the cotton feel nice on you?
It's lovely, man. It's comfy as shit. I love it.
And guess what? You look lovely, so that's all that matters.
There you go.
Well, just as I was about to introduce you, my partner Darren is always on the shows as well, and I wasn't going to draw any attention to your charcoal little number. Don't worry about that. Well, let's get through this. Survivor Series 2021 coming at you this Sunday from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn in New York. Absolutely stellar stadium. I've been in there before. What a place. Absolutely brilliant. Bring a lot of money with you if you're planning on eating or drinking there, though. That's for sure. But yeah, it's a good one. Yeah.
They're absolutely rinsing you on gear, Eddie.
Well, a Grey Goose on a Coke is about $28.
Right. Now, the only thing I will say is, I like a spot that I can rock up to watch some wrestling and get a Grey Goose at.
Yeah, but if you're having a few of them at $28 a pop.
Listen, it's got to be...
The problem is, you want to be in with Jericho in the backstage on that one there and you get it for free, but unfortunately he's not there anymore. So the price of Grey Goose has just kind of shot up a little bit since Jericho's left the company, I think.
Absolutely. Well, we have a kickoff show starting at midnight on Sunday in the UK and then coming to you live 1 a.m. Monday morning. We have the main card, so we're going to focus mainly on the main card here. Some really good matches on this, but it's kind of I think I'd be right in saying it doesn't really have a Survivor Series feel to it. It's more like a bragging rights, that old pay-per-view they used to do, because there's a lot of title matches here that aren't title matches, and it's just a brag for either the red or the blue brand. But let's start with some of the matches here. Let's get in. We'll start with the tag match. RK Bro versus the Usos. Darren, you take that one. Big Usos fan.
But I have to say, I'm just loving Riddle and Randy Orton. I really am. You know, I wasn't a Riddle fan to begin with at all. I didn't like him. I felt like I just wanted to take that scooter and absolutely lambaste him across the mallet with it. He was an annoying little cretin.
Ala Sheamus.
Right. And I think it was a stroke of genius putting him in there with Orton. You know, it gives him that little bit of credibility. It takes that kind of, you know, he's still gimmicky, but it takes that kind of real gimmick feel off him. And it legitimizes him a little bit. And obviously having the belts and stuff like that as well. And I think like the boys and the Usos are going to go to absolute town on each other on Sunday night. I am buzzing for that match, I have to tell you. But I do think the family, the tribe, the bloodline will reign supreme in the end.
Yeah, the talk is in that this could be the match that sows the seed, the little bit of dissension that leads to the breakup culminating at Mania for RK-Bro.
Okay, how so? Fill me in on this. I'm excited.
Well, the whisper in the wind, as they say, is that apparently Riddle could cost them the match. A bit stupidly, if you like, and that could Orton might not take too kindly to that, and the seed could be getting sown for the breakup, right, culminating with the match at WrestleMania.
It was always going to be the end game of this, wasn't it? To try and get the rub, as Darren kind of alluded to there.
And they've teased this a little bit recently, you know, because Randy's obviously spoken to him a couple of times on Raw and said, "You've got to listen to me, bro. You know, like you're making these kind of rookie errors and." Yeah. And Riddle is kind of like, yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm, you know, and playing a good part, in fairness to him. Like, he really, really is coming across, you know.
Yeah.
I would actually love to see the opposite, as in Like, I would like to see Riddle come out of this as the absolute heel, but I don't think it's going to happen that way. I know, you know, WWE are looking at this, they're going to go, this kid's going to print money when we start selling t-shirts with whatever on it, you know? But yeah. I think he could do a really good job as a cut. Like, how unbelievable would it be on Sunday night to see him, you know, Orton about to jack someone with an RKO and then Riddle just, you know, buries him with that kick and stuff like that. And you could go from there with the, this kind of cocky heel because he can absolutely play that and then have Orton as the babyface. Now, as we know, Orton's not a great babyface, but I just think it would give a different dynamic to the situation rather than the one maybe that we've seen so many times before, you know?
Yeah, we're not, WWE aren't in the business of giving fans what they want anymore. So look, I think they're going to go with the, as we know, I'm still bitter with WWE at the moment. Me and WWE are on hiatus for a long time, as we know, with their treatment of Ireland's own Finn Balor. So Vinnie Mac, you big fucking old buffoon, still fuck you, but I'm still here to preview your show.
So I suppose we could get that evolution moment again out of Orton, could we, where it's like,
I think so. I think that was always going to be the end game, and I do think it was a stroke of genius that Darren alluded to, was putting these two together, in the sense that Riddle had come off the back of the whole speaking out movement and stuff like that, and wasn't looking too shiny, to be fair. But obviously, the company saw something in him, and that's fair enough. You know what I mean? I'm not here to speak about any of that stuff. That's all private business. But Riddle was kind of one of those where he probably wasn't getting over too well backstage. He was rubbing people up the wrong way. And you know, fans, the modern fan will hound you for that. I think putting him with another bad boy who was a proper bad boy back in the day, but who has also learned from a lot of his mistakes and is now a family man, I think that was the stroke of genius, realistically, from a psychology point of view. Someone to mentor him in the old school way of, you know, someone who may have been a little bit troublesome or a little bit green would be thrown with someone like a, you know, I don't know, like a fucking, you know, like a Wahoo McDaniel or something, or you know what I mean? Or a Dutch Mantel is a perfect example, you know.
I think that's a great point, man. I really do. I just think he's probably gaining as much off screen as he is on screen.
More.
And he may even be, you know, by the end of this, he may be somebody that in a couple of years down the road, they can go, we're going to put somebody with him and say, you had to take the advice. You had to go this way to you know, make sure you pay respect to people. And there was a certain way to do things. And, you know, I think it's a clever move from WWE. I really do. I've made lots of clever moves recently. So, you know, we've got to tip our hat to them for that one.
But that's the one, you know what I mean? That's definitely the one. Yeah. I'm here all day, lads. Don't worry.
up next, let's look at the women's Survivor Series match. You've got there's still one team member on Team SmackDown to be decided at this stage. So we're not Ronda sure.
Rousey.
We're not sure whether it's going to be on the go home show or whether it's going to be a surprise on the night. But so far we've Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Queen Zelina, Team Raw, and then Team SmackDown is Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi Blackheart, Natalya, and an unknown final member to be decided. I'm not sure what to think on this one, only that there seems to be kind of a bit of a little sort of dissension on the dynamic there in Team SmackDown. That could lead to a bit of infighting, which means that Team Raw could have the upper hand pretty quickly in this match, with people taking each other out. That's the only way I've looked at it. But again, until we know who that unknown member is, the talk is it could be Sonya, which would make it very interesting. What you thinking on it, Darren?
Yeah, I actually think it'll be Sonya. That's where I'd put my chips at the minute, if I'm honest, man. Obviously, you've got her and Naomi have been trading blows back and forth recently. And again, that might lend itself to Naomi getting involved in the match and maybe costing her SmackDown team the match based on the fact she's got beef with Sonya, you know? I think we could see something like that. And I think obviously Sonya's in that position where on the go-home show, she can go, you know what? There's nobody around here that can lace my boots and I'm going to take the final spot. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then there's a bit of dynamic there.
Heel move too.
Yeah, there's a bit of dynamic there as well with Sasha and with Shotzi as well. So that could kind of explode a little bit as well. So
I really like what they did with Shotzi, I have to say.
Yeah.
Really liked it. Like, that's a gamble, you know. They've rolled the dice on that a little bit. But again, we've talked about it time and time again, and we're going to say this as long as people are going to hit ring ropes. Like, we like being surprised. We like watching something and not knowing what's going to happen, because that's left the business, obviously, in the last number of years with, you know, social media and then with leaks and all these pages and stuff like that. And you love to see something and go, holy shit, I didn't see that coming. Like, that's what we're still watching this for, you know, and it doesn't maybe happen as often as it should anymore. Mm. But when it does, it can, and if it's done right, it can really, really pay dividends, you know?
Yeah. Well, what you thinking on this end? The red brand going over on this one?
Yeah.
Let's move on then. Before we get to the men's one, we'll talk about Damian Priest versus Shinsuke Nakamura, the US belt versus the IC belt. Again, it's kind of a bragging rights match, but it's the red brand versus the blue brand again. I can't see anything here, only a Damian Priest win.
Yeah, it kind of, you know what, it kind of annoys me a little bit. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a huge Damian Priest fan. It might be controversial to some people. I'm not a huge fan of him yet. I don't know realistically yet what he is. Do you know what I mean? I suppose I just can't relate to him. But that doesn't mean that other people that do relate to him, that's not a knock on them. I'm not saying that they're wrong for relating to him. It's just, I think with Shinsuke Nakamura, I think he's kind of in that Balor situation, isn't he? And Kevin Owens situation of, like, you know, this is a superstar, a megastar, and he's been put in purgatory, and he's got the Intercontinental belt, but you know they're just doing that to kind of keep him sweet or whatever. Like, it's just a place, isn't it? It's just a place on the card. And I feel like that this match is just a match for the sake of a match, because you've got two lads that are basically the equivalent of the other in terms of championships and their place on the card. But one, they're trying to build up in Priest. The other, they're trying to just keep sweet. So I'm just hoping that these two boys decide to go out and just have a barn burner and say, fuck it. But, I mean, unfortunately, with WWE, you're not really guaranteed that anymore, aren't you? Because it's just, it's agents telling you every step and every move that you need to do. So,
and you know, the thing is, I think they could have a phenomenal match, because they're two athletes, you know, they're two really, really good workers.
Yeah, they could.
I absolutely get what you're talking about with Priest. I don't know whether he's...
That's what I'm saying. I don't know whether Priest is a good worker yet. You see, like, we throw that worker one around a lot. I think he's a good wrestler. I think Shinsuke is a good worker, but at the same time, it's like, I'd like to see Priest. I'd like to see, in this type of match, I think, for Priest's development, because I do see potential there in terms of his look. I mean, he's a big fucking Native American looking motherfucker. He looks awesome. But I'd like to be able to, for that, with those two in particular, to be able to go out and say, well, just go out and have a hell of a match. You just come up with the fucking the start, middle, and the end. We'll give you your directions, but just go out and have, say, 15 minutes and just steal the show, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Let Vince tell the boys, you know, day before, listen, you're going out second, you're going out third, you've got 20 minutes, and this is how we want the fans to feel afterwards.
Yes.
You two boys, go and work it out.
Yes.
We trust you, we believe in you. Go and show us what you can do.
I'd love that. I'd love that.
But again,
it would help both of them. Yeah.
I think it would help the roster, not just both of them, you know? It gets to the stage where, you know, they're scripting farts and you're thinking, there's nothing organic here. And it's gotta be a little more organic for people to kind of buy into it and stuff like that, you know. I really feel Nakamura at the minute, as you said, is, I don't see him going anywhere.
He's in limbo, isn't he? You know.
Yeah, he's out the door at the next opportunity, I'd imagine. I don't see him signing another deal.
No, back home.
it's back home. It's, yeah, absolutely. He spent enough time driving around that camper van, surfing all over the States, hasn't he? He wants to go home, we think. Like, WWE are probably at the minute thinking, we got to keep this guy literally just so he doesn't sign with AEW. But I don't even think AEW would be a fit for him at the minute because of the direction they're going in with All Elite and with Kenny Omega and Hangman and stuff like that, you know?
It's just, I suppose, when we're talking about this pay-per-view, I suppose the reason I'm so pessimistic would be that I don't, you know, for better or for worse, at least, you know, in a 3 or 4 hour AEW pay-per-view, you're getting to see who fucking prevails and who doesn't in terms of who steps up to the plate and who doesn't. Because what we're seeing now over there is that less and less we're seeing of the Orange Cassidys because they're falling down the totem pole because, as the Macho Man says, the cream rises to the top.
Which we knew, which we knew would happen. We knew
we did. We did. So we're starting to see the boys like the Darby Allins that can hang with the big boys, and we're starting to see the likes of the MJFs and all that can step up a little bit. Mm. And listen, sometimes the matches may go on too long. That's absolutely fine, but that's the agent's fault. That's the booker's fault. But what we are seeing is that there's trust being thrown upon these guys and gals to go out and actually do what they want and show if you've got it or you don't. And I'd say about 80% of that roster are shown that they can. I'd like to see a little bit more of that freedom in WWE, and in particular, the likes of these two, because if Damian Priest, if he's able to go out there and learn to call it in the ring with someone like a Shinsuke, that's just more and more experience and another notch on his utility belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we need more of that. I was listening to the Ric Flair podcast recently, the debut episode, his new show, Uncensored. And he was talking about that and saying, like, the problem with modern workers is that they don't get to work with different people all the time. It's just working the same guys over and over again. So it's like it becomes a routine and a rehearsal. And it's like, oh, do you want to do the one we did 2 months ago, or do you want to do this one? You know what I mean? You have to go and experience different styles and different just different flavors and stuff. And you have to be able to fall on your face. You know, so many people are afraid of fucking up these days. I remember the great Raven said that. You know, don't be afraid of fucking up, because that's how you learn. You know, everything is just so rehearsed now, and I think that's really... WWE is just so overproduced. It's not even funny.
And that, like what you said there, that strive for perfection.
Yes.
You know, we need the match to be perfect.
No, organic.
We need the match to be perfect, because matches in other shows aren't perfect, but they still go over perfectly well. You know, mm-hmm. like, you're always going to have these guys that, you know, are on this botch mania after an event and go, oh, this will happen. But, like, you can't be going through spots where, or going through shows where literally everything, as you said, is, like, they're spending as much time rehearsing a fucking ring walk as they are, you know, putting effort into what they're going to be doing into the ring. Like, that itself is ludicrous. Like, do you know what I mean? It's so overproduced. It's actually scary at times, you know?
I think a great, sorry to steal your show there, Noel, but just the last thing I'll say on that before we move on isn't looking at someone like a Daniel Bryan, who's the most recent kind of huge star that's wrestled recent enough in WWE, isn't watching his matches now in AEW so refreshing that you can see what that lad wants to do and call it in the ring, and you're seeing the benefits, you know what I mean, of what that lad actually wants to do. Whereas when he was in WWE, it was always, you've got to have your routine. People got to become familiar with your routine. Listen, you keep watching the same fucking wall being painted on a daily basis, you're going to get bored with it. And we are in the age of this. You know what I mean? People's attention span is lower than it's ever been. And I think that's really what's happening with both companies, to be fair.
I couldn't tell you, if I'm honest, because, like, if AEW were in my back garden, I'd pull the fucking curtains, man. But that's just because of how loyal I would be to WWE. That's not necessarily a mark against AEW. That's just me being very one-dimensional and single-minded about
something. That's because Jerry McDivitt is your solicitor.
And I keep abreast of what's going on. I go on to the 434 and I'll watch all the results come in and see what happens, right? But I wouldn't sit and watch an AEW pay-per-view. I turned on an episode of Dynamite or whatever it was a couple of weeks ago on a Friday night, and I'd say I had it off after about 6 minutes. I was like, this is absolute garbage. But it's not that it's garbage. It's garbage to me because I've become accustomed to a certain way and for things to look a certain way. And when they don't look that way or it doesn't feel that way, I just go, nah, you're all right, thanks, I'm busy.
That's fair.
Do you know? That's holding me hand up as opposed to going, you know?
But that's the way it should be as a pro wrestling fan. That's what we had in the Monday Night Wars. You know what I mean? You had the people that liked the way Nitro looked and you had the people that liked the way Raw looked. So, I mean, it's horses for courses, man. It's you know, yeah. There's no explanation needed.
Yep, absolutely. Right, let's move on to men's Survivor Series match. We've got Team Raw, which is Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and Bobby Lashley.
That's a hell of a team, isn't it?
A heck of a team.
That's a hell of a modern team right there.
And looks even more impressive now when I rattle off Team SmackDown. Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, Xavier Woods, Happy Corbin, and an unknown member. The whisper going around at the moment is the unknown member could be potentially Walter.
Are you trying to say that that's as good a team as the first team, or are you?
No, I'm saying it's not even close.
Yeah, I was thinking there. Sorry, Noel. I'm sorry you doubted you. Even if you bring Walter into that equation, you can bring Walter and you can bring Hitler, you can bring whoever you want. That's still not a team that's even getting near that first team. Good lord.
I'm looking at this match, and only because there's The talk is that it could be Walter, but the other talk is that it could be Dominic. But Dominic was taken out of the match, wasn't he, or something like that? That's where they were going there with that.
So we could get a little swerve here going on.
There could be a swerve going on there, because the talk is they're going to build to a big match where Dominic turns on Rey.
The most important question is, what are they doing with Balor? I'm trying to get a reaction out of that.
No,
you make me feel better all the time when we talk about that.
They've really, really let the ball drop with them, you know? Like, as much as, and again, you know, it's easy and where people are going, oh yeah, these three bleeding paddies ranting on there about Balor, but he was in the title picture. He was seconds from beating Reigns and winning the title. And all of a sudden, he's getting rolled over and tickled by Xavier Woods. And you're like, lads, what fucking planet are we on here? Do you know, it's like, I don't know, man.
Hang on. That's King Xavier Woods, please.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Up, down, left, right, and all that.
It's fucking
Queen Xavier Woods. Sorry, it's up, down, down.
Up, down, down, is it?
I thought that's what Paige said to him. Yeah. But I think I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Balor or to see them try and appease Balor at the pay-per-view and have him part of the winning team and a surviving member. Wouldn't shock me, because I just think they've shitting him an awful lot lately. And I think what they do with him from time to time is they shitting him and they give him a rub. They shitting him, they give him a rub. And you get that kind of a thing all the time that he kind of goes, I'm in, I'm out. I'm in, I'm right?
This match,
he's 3 years left on his deal. He can't wait to go home to fucking Bray County Wicklow and buy his gaff somewhere in the Midlands of Ireland and just say fuck it. It is what it is. Do you know what I mean?
This match to me, lads, stinks of like that DX and Hardy's match where you have all surviving members on one side and the other team just wiped out.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like to me. I'd be very surprised.
Unless the unknown member is something or someone massive.
It's Sting! And Tony Schiavone comes out and announces it.
And he bulldozes his way through it. Like, could they decide to do something with Walter like that, that if he came in and all of a sudden he starts going through the Raw team one at a time and they make this big, massive thing out of him really quickly. It legitimizes him a bit.
Well, yeah. he won't be it, lads. I'm telling you here now. Yous know this. Yous don't need me to explain this. Walter, when he stands beside someone like Drew McIntyre, which we've seen, or stands beside someone like a Roman Reigns, he's not going to look that impressive. he looks impressive fighting the smaller lads. And by the way, I am an advocate for the smaller lads, as you know. But what I'm saying is, Bolter's kind of whole thing is that he's this big guy. He's, you know, blah, blah, blah. What I'm saying is that he's not going to be that impressive to Vince McMahon. That won't do anything for Vince McMahon's testosterone or his fucking juices. Might be flavored a month for a little while. Trust me on this. We will talk in 6 months on this, and I will be proven right.
Is there a case for Von Wagner?
There could be.
Noel, you wanted to chime in there on that.
The only reason I'm saying it is he recently, there was doubts there, I suppose, at a company level, but it's been reported recently that he had split from his wife and that he has dedicated himself to America now, apparently.
Yeah, he's moved to the States full time now, hasn't he? Yeah. Which was the issue all along
and stuff like that. But yeah. I think now that that's happened, I don't know, Ian, do you not find, from Vince's point of view, there might be a bit of appeal to him because he's kind of an old school, rough and rugged type of guy, and that kind of appeals to Vince a bit. You know, those heavy chops and stuff like that. No, that old school way.
Not in any way, shape, or form. Vince is not a lover of old. Yeah, in his mind, he's a lover of old school stuff. Trust me, this is going to be a flavor of the month kind of thing. It'll be a 3 or 4 month job, and I guarantee you, we sit here 6 months ago. Told you so. No, Vince does that. That is not for him. I'm telling you,
he's a slightly better version of like Vladimir Kozlov.
Yes,
and you'll get him in a main event. Run.
No, he's a phenomenal worker. It's
for about three to four months, and then he'd be buried, and all of a sudden he'll pop up and he'd be doing vignettes with bleeding Booker T on a golf course somewhere.
Or he'd be in with Bert DeFay fucking.
Do you know what I mean? Something like that. Some absolute tripe.
No, he's not Niall. This idea that Vince loves old school and all this stuff. Maybe he did. He earned his money on fucking old school, but that's about it. I know
what they're gonna do with him.
What?
They're gonna put the mixed tag belts on him in Dewdrop. They're gonna change it to JEW Drop, and they're gonna make him and Dewdrop the mixed tag team champions.
That's actually, you've heard it first here on Dynamo. It doesn't just so we know. Just so we know, Darren is in no way associated with the Dynamo Podcast Network. He is a hired hand. So if any sort of litigation or anything that you're looking to proceed with, contact Darren and Jerry McDevitt.
Yeah, look up our lawyer, Jerry McDevitt.
Look up Darren and Jerry McDevitt and Rafael Nadal, possibly. I don't know. We'll get in touch with those guys.
So we're all team Raw on this one, I take it. Anyway, definitely. We're a shadow of a deal. Let's move on. The real main event of this show, that I think anyway, Becky versus Charlotte. This has had a great build up now. Plenty of needle on this.
Let me take over this one just to start with, because I've been following this more so than anything else. Purely, as I said, I've been listening to the latest Flair podcast, and obviously today. Did anyone see the tweet from Flair today? Yeah.
Yeah, and I see Becky on the Ariel Helwani show was brilliant as well.
And WWE But basically, Rick is obviously bitter now at the moment, because I don't know whether that's a cheat or a work. And this is the great thing about Ric Flair. Call a fucking 180-year-old man in to fucking bring some legitimacy to the table and make you question things. So I'm like, oh, is that tweet real or what? So obviously, he has said that WWE are trying to erase his history. Now, that's probably the case. I don't know. Maybe they're 3 or 4 months too late, because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I haven't heard anything about that whole other documentary that we don't mention anymore. So I don't know whether that's legit, but it could be. And that's why Flair is doing the old Uncensored podcast. But he said he's going to address it next week. I think the work that Becky and Charlotte have done to build this match up is actually fucking better than the their employers have done. You know, because Becky's gone around saying, yeah, shit was going down backstage, you know, blah, blah, blah. And look, these two obviously have made a little conscious decision to go, let's do this, let's work, you know what I mean? And probably made chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Do you not think there's a little bit going on behind the scenes there?
Listen, listen, come on. Darren, I love that you even asked me that question.
Well,
do you know why I love that you asked me that question? A, because you're just, you look beautiful there as you're asking it. You look so happy. But no, I'll tell you why. And I don't need, I don't mean to be the lad that shits on fucking people's parade or be like the Deontay Wilder shouting, bomb squad. You know, it's, this is old school work here now by two girls who get it more than most people will ever get it. These have decided, I mean, look, maybe Charlotte did go into business for herself a little bit, but you could be guaranteed there was a little apology there or whatever, if that was even the case. This could have been something between the two of them that went wink, wink, nudge, nudge, which I'm more inclined to believe. This is work from the two of them that are making this company money. And good Lord, this is the match of the night, without a shadow of a doubt.
How good does Becky look, by the way?
No comment. Her brother's watching.
How good does Becky look right now?
She looks fantastic. She's,
she really, really does. And I don't necessarily mean from a physical point of view.
No, just in general.
In general, you know, the glasses, the way the hair is done and stuff. She just looks a fucking $1 million. And when she walks out there, everybody just goes, whoa, who the fuck is that?
And
Seth is doing the absolute same on that side.
Her and Sasha, I think. I mean, look, it's the same with Charlotte. Charlotte is always $1 million when she walks out. She's from royalty. Do you know what I mean?
It is other than our boat race looking like, you know, someone's bashed into the jester with a rolling pin. She needs to get our boy Jerry on the phone, and Jerry needs to call that plastic surgeon and go, listen, brother, you're going to fix this thing or shit's going to get real around here. She looks like someone absolutely munched her up, man. From the neck down, she looks all good. From the neck up, she looks no good.
It's very harsh, isn't it?
I think so.
No, I think that's very harsh.
I think I think I'm
the
baby face on this. I think I'm the baby face on the show today, to be fair.
I've gone in on her there, lads, but I think she's looking now, and sorry, don't get me wrong here, massive Charlotte Flair fan. Absolutely massive. A bit of, like, you know,
clearly.
I've sat there in the O2 in the tree ring or whatever it is this week with my Charlotte Flair t-shirt on. Big Charlotte Flair fan. Absolutely love the girl.
You're not one of those hugger fans, are you?
I'm one of them stalker fans. But I just think she's absolutely mutilated herself with the amount of work she's got done. And in an attempt to look better, she's fucked it up basically, and
that's neither here nor there. Well, let's get back to
beauty's in the eye of the beholder, isn't it?
Yeah. let's not go there. Aaron, I'm glad you got it off your chest. That's no problem.
Thanks.
He's like that guy that rang into the show, isn't it? I've bit my tongue long enough.
It's like, okay, caller, thank you very much for the 20 cents that we got.
Why, Charlotte? Why?
But no, I mean,
it's going to be a great match, isn't it?
Yeah, you kind of, I saw you nodding there. You kind of intended to agree with my kind of theory at the start.
100%.
Yeah, and I think it's just one of these things where these are the two female veterans now at this point, along with obviously Charlotte and Bayley. And they know how to work. And I think you're gonna see a kind of match here where they're gonna really tell that story of a physical match, and it's gonna legitimize I suppose Becky's character in a lot of senses as well, that, like, even though she's big time Bex and walks around like, you know,
like big time Bex.
Yeah, and walks around acting like a, you know, like Conor McGregor in female version, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's going to be like, yeah, well, it ain't bragging if you back it up kind of thing. So
she's kind of gone down that rock route, isn't she? Where she talks about herself in the third person like it's someone else.
She's really, actually really cool. You know what? She's probably the biggest star outside of Roman Reigns. She's probably the biggest star in the business right now. Mm. Or I would even say very, very close to Roman, to be honest with you, in terms of her work, in terms of her stardom, in terms of her stock. She's, you know, listen, I'm all in, as you know, Noel. I remember that little frail girl that walked into a gym in Bray at 15 years old, and lied about her age, by the way. Just to get away from the insurance forms. That's the only reason, so that she could actually train.
And also walked into a shop looking for a job.
Exactly. There you go. So I mean, she always had a set of balls that were bigger than fucking any other lads, in the sense that she would put herself out there and she knew what she wanted. So
I thought you were going to say bigger than any of those other lads down in Bray. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Well, bigger than
maybe
listen,
so.
Listen, oh, absolutely. There was fucking lads that came down in Bray, maybe up into the hundreds. Came in once and got in the ring with Becky and didn't go back the following week. So.
We kind of nearly want this to run for a while, don't we? We want it to get deeper and nastier, don't we?
Well, yeah, because it's got to have a culmination, doesn't it? That Mania. I mean, I know there's obviously talk about Ronda being back at Mania, and obviously they want Ronda and Rock as the kind of stars and stuff, but I don't think this kind of match doesn't need it. I think Becky and Darren will agree with me here. Becky and Charlotte's story is... It's proper Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart level stuff, or Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair, you know, level kind of.
These two girls are way. They're in my eyes at the moment. If you look since Ronda stepped out, these girls have just taken off, and I think bringing Ronda back in there and throwing her into that mix there wouldn't be good at all. I think it would expose her, because I think the girls are so much better now.
I mean, I think a program with someone like, I think some, not that she needs the rub, to be fair, but I think someone like a Ronda coming back, you know, in a program with someone like a Sasha or something.
Sasha Banks, yeah.
Because not that Sasha needs the rub, but it would help legitimize
Sasha. She made comments this week, didn't she?
Exactly. And that's what I was thinking.
So that, yeah, that would lend
that itself. Makes more sense to me. Whereas I think a culmination, let this be the Survivor Series match, but then let it fester for a while because they're on different brands, which I think is a good thing. And then let WrestleMania like have all the stakes, and it can be Becky two belts or Charlotte two belts. You know what I mean? But that's my free booking advice to any of those Z-list writers that are working for WWE that have no business writing pro wrestling television.
When he says writer, he means garbage man, because that's about what they're all useful for.
Actually, get me Duke the Dumpster back.
Who's are we getting a winner in this match, or is this going to go kind of weird?
I think they're going to give it to Charlotte personally. I don't know why.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, I don't know why. I just have a feeling they're going to give it to Charlotte. Yeah. Because again, I think they're working.
Makes sense.
Charlotte has the heat that people think that she has.
Probably makes sense if you wanted to continue.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's going to be hokey. I think something's going to go down other than a straight winner. Let's say. Yeah. I think it's going to be hokey.
That would make more sense though.
Or a double count out, or a disqualification where somebody just starts wielding a chair like an axe, and you know, and all of a sudden, because again, that lends itself to a bit of longevity with it. That maybe, you know, oh, you remember what happened to Survivor Series? Well, now it's my turn, and you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
To kind of sell the storyline as well, this match can't be too technical either. Sure it can't. It has to be a kind of a brawl, doesn't it? It has to be like an awesome.
It could be the EST coming down, getting her payback on Becky or something as well. Do you know what I mean? And kind of costing her match or something. And it doesn't end clean. I'm not saying that Charlotte goes over clean, but it could be something like...
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting.
I never
one.
Got that, by the way. The EST in the WWE. Can you not fucking say the letter B? No, is that actually not in your vocabulary? Good lord! And the EST in the WWE. like, okay, grand. So you're the est. All right, grand. The fucking chicken children. Jeez. Just, it actually bugs me. It makes no sense. And the EFT, and I want respect. Well,
so not only, are you not happy with writing, you're not happy with marketing either. What's wrong with
you? I'm not happy when someone doesn't know how to spell the word best. Fucking Aegis, she is.
Jesus. Jesus, we're going in hot tonight, lads, aren't we? We're going in hot tonight.
Look at this. What the hell? I could do it there as well. Look, woo! Look at this fucking ponytail.
Jesus, we've gone from digestives and rolling pins and ESTs. And,
let's STDs get into and all STDs. That stuff.
Let's get into the main event: Big E versus Roman Reigns.
No interest.
My God. You messaged me to come on.
No. No.
I have a lot of interest in this match, actually.
I think
this will be the match that comes down to the deciding match in whether the red brand or the blue brand wins out on the night. And that's how it's going to be sold during the pay-per-view. I expect the Tribal Chief
to the blue brand. It's 2-all in, and then all of a sudden it's on this. This is the rubber match, Luke.
I think so.
Right.
Because it kind of brings a flavor then to it, doesn't it? Rather than
comes from a nicer place in pro wrestling. Like, he actually comes from a place where when he watched, it made sense and everything was good in the world. But the problem with Niall is that he's blinded himself to the last 10 years of it.
Well, you see, they're marketing it in a way that this is for the bragging rights, because none of these are for the titles. Yeah. So it's only for the red or the blue brand bragging.
But the problem is, they're not going to want to piss off either network. Ooh, you know, our network is less than the other, blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean?
Well, see, this is the kind of night where WWE decides and the network doesn't have as much input.
Yeah, but, you know, Vince always caves to the lads that are basically licking his ballsack, or the ones that he now is actually sucking off, because he's obviously become that guy. But
that theory doesn't make sense for this match then.
No, but I think you're right in the sense that you're saying that it's a rubber. But I think it's going to be more of a case that they're going to do something stupid, like over the whole night, that's a draw kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? I think they're going to do something really stupid like that, where like it's a tie for that all the brands.
That wouldn't sit well with our Tribal Chief.
No, I'm not saying the match would be a draw, but I'm saying the brands are going to be tied, yeah, so to speak.
So you reckon it could be a 3-all night?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, whereas I think the Tribal Chief, I mean, if the Tribal Chief doesn't go over in this to this bleeding, you know, snap, crackle,
see, it could be a bit like the Ryder Cup, because if we reckon that Becky and Charlotte both get a half.
That's true. I saw Darren bit on that one there, the snap, crackle, and pop champion.
Yeah, and you know, I think we could get something completely different here. I think this could end up in a 6-man tag.
What?
Yeah.
What? You mean this main event could end up in a 6-man tag?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Hang on. Roll that back there. Come on.
We need to call Finlay Martin in here.
That's not even my out there booking now. Go on. Give us your theory.
Okay,
on this.
This is the worst. This is the best.
I think, obviously, you know, stuff gets a bit hokey. And the Usos get involved, yeah, as they generally would in the Tribal Chiefs business. I think to rub off against that, King, Xavier, and Kofi need to get involved to kind of even up the numbers, so to speak. And then it becomes that sort of a knockdown, drag-out brawl that somebody turns around somewhere and goes, this match is now a 6-man tag.
So you're telling me that People Power is going to come out on the bike and say, guys, this is now a 6-man tag.
Right? And we end up...
No, I'm not with you.
And then we end up with neither the Tribal Chief nor the Snap, Crackle, and Pop having to take the loss, and they can just pin it on again if it's the Usos lose. It's another reason Reigns can grind his teeth and goes, look at these two idiots. And if it's the other two boys that lose, maybe it's where we get the cord cut with Big E and the boys, and he goes, listen, boys, you know, you cost me a match at the weekend, and now it's time to step away from each other. Oh. I didn't say it was going to happen. I said,
right. Now that you've got, now that you've got playtime with the kids over, right, what do you think is actually going to happen?
Is this your upset because Kofi doesn't have a spot on the card or something like that? Method, what is it?
There's method to this madness, I'm telling you.
No, no, I get you. Listen, to be honest with you, Darren, I would be not surprised if one of those Buffy the Vampire Slayer writers that they have writing wrestling shows probably brought this to Vince already. And it's probably under consideration. But I think, you know, they kind of look at it as a one-fall bout with a 30-minute time limit, you know, scheduled for one fall. Let's kind of look at it that way and then say who, because I don't really see how a Kofi Kingston win. I mean, look, the whole propaganda thing is over now. You know, Black History Month is over now. We don't need this shite anymore, shut down our throats. Let's get back to business now. Kofi is the snap, crackle, and pop champion.
Big E, you mean?
Well, yeah, whatever. They're both similar champions. And they're from the same bleeding team, so it doesn't matter. They could be like the they could be like the demolition, where you could just trade one in every now and then. I hate the New Day. I just want to say that categorically, if anyone wants to know, I hate them.
But we do like pancakes.
Absolutely love pancakes. You
bet we love pancakes, man.
I love pancakes. In fact, I had pancakes last Friday, as you saw, Niall. With bacon and maple syrup.
I love pancakes on Tuesday.
Oh, awesome. I love pancakes on a Tuesday.
With bacon and maple syrup as well. And it was delish.
Divine. Listen, yeah. I wanna preface that by saying I do like Kofi Kingston. I actually have always liked Kofi Kingston as a worker. I love how he runs the ropes. I love his energy. Always
it was the Jamaican accent that killed it for you, wasn't it?
Definitely. Do you know what I mean? Definitely. And I love Big E as well. I've always thought Big E is a big man. How he ran the ropes in particular for a big man. His energy is really, really phenomenal. Never a fan of Xavier Woods, I have to say. Just something about him. It's not. I don't know the guy personally, so don't wish any ill will. Just never got behind his character or his work or anything like that. But the other two guys, Kofi and Big E. Listen, big fan. And I'm glad Big E has the belt because he's been there a long time. But what I'm saying is, let's talk about this properly. What is the end game with this guy? Is he going to be the guy that they're going to make as legitimate as Roman Reigns?
No.
That's the question. So what is the end game here? There's only one way this match in particular can go. And that's Roman. But most importantly, this is the conversation I want to have with you two boys.
Orders a six-man tag.
Well, but honestly, this is the conversation I want to have with you two boys. And I'm interested to see what your perspective on it is. What does Big E bring as a champion other than the fact that it's been there a while and the fans are going, oh, yay, he got it. Woohoo, grand. You know what I mean? It's great.
Bigger tits than Pamela Anderson. That's what he brings, man. They are voluptuous.
Yeah, but he is a cool guy.
He's a heck of an athlete, and he's a very good wrestler. In fairness, so.
But this is the question that we have, Noel. Now you got Darren and myself's hopes up a few months ago because you convinced us that good old boy Vince. And this is why I know that you're an old timer. That just wants to see, you know, cherry pops and ice creams and lollipops on the beach.
I want to see lads winning with a headlock.
But yeah, I want to see that too. And you know what? Although I want to see their shoulders down on the mat. But you convinced us that Airboy Balor was going to be the guy. Don't worry about it. Vince, they're not building them up for nothing here that this is not what they're doing. And
are you still not convinced?
Well, Noel, I'm not listening to you anymore anyway. I'm on the Finn Martin side of fucking things. Your booking has got the shit. Well, how could I be convinced? He's not even in any title picture now. He's not even in the Cruiserweight picture. It's an act of God and that's it. No explanation needed. So how am I meant to, like, as a fan, how am I meant to emotionally invest in any of these characters other than Roman Reigns? Because he's the one that gets Vince's dick hard. You know what I mean? Let's be real. That's how Vince acts. You know, he sees men that makes him excited about things. And then he goes, that's the guy. And that's always been the way. You know what I mean? So everything else is just a paper champion, right? So, I mean, I can't even see why this match would be even up for debate other than a Roman Reigns win.
Because it's like what Darren said, it's the uncertainty of what might happen. And it depends whether this is the deciding match for the blue or red brand.
Yeah, but Vince is definitely not going to ruin his
blue moment for the gimmick champ.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I suppose the other side of it as well is sometimes all roads lead to Lesnar. And he's just being sent home on a suspension, hasn't he? So he might have an axe to grind. Who's say he doesn't show up?
There you go. Yeah, now we're starting to get to the meat and the gravy of this conversation.
Yeah, and that's legitimate. Like, he could come in and just destroy the two of them. And nobody loses. So we save face over here. We save face over here. He's got an axe to grind then with Roman, you know, about how things went down. And you're back into this to and fro with him and Roman. Like, who's to
say at the end of this pay-per-view we don't have Brock and Heyman standing in the middle ring and we have Brocky two belts?
All right, now we're getting to it.
who's to say it's probably as close a shout as the main event on the two Browns becoming a six-man tag. That's
to
a massive fair. Stretch.
To be fair, when this
becomes a six-man tag, you know I'm coming for you.
This is my West Ham moment.
Right, you know I'm coming for you, right?
What they do as well is, like, they'll look at the other brand and go, or the other company and go, all right, well, they're only getting this much and they're only getting that much, blah, blah, blah. They're actually bringing these in. That's cool. But I think Vince is smart enough. I will give him credit. I think he's smart enough to know that even though the viewership may not be great in AEW, they know it's not great in their company either. So they know that that's kind of more of a trend, and that says more about society now rather than what the other company's doing so much. I think all it takes for the opposite, you know, for the competition, let's say, because it is competition, all it takes, and Vince still looks at it as competition, no matter, you know, he looks at fucking, you know, a dog jumping over in his backyard as competition. This lad is built on it. I think he knows that all it takes is a heel switch with someone like a fucking, you know, like a Bryan Danielson, you know, to make things interesting on AEW that could just take viewership away from him. So he's definitely thinking, do you know what I mean? But I think it's just, he doesn't have that long-term planning anymore with the likes of, you know, the pool party, as they say, with the likes of, you know, the Briscoes and Patterson and all that kind of around his table.
And the boys.
Yeah, exactly. But he definitely fucking knows that there's competition going on over there and they're building something and they're still only 2 or 3 years old. So he's going, right, but they're still fucking babies, really. And we need to fucking keep things fresh. So you could be right in that sense that there will be a little surprise in the main event. And Brock probably makes the most sense out of it all. And it could be a little suspension that he breaks through the crowd or something. We could get a little bit of an attitude era kind of moment where he comes in and just smashes both of them. And it could be a thing, you know, where he looks at Heyman and pigeonholes him. And, like, I'd love to see him kidnap Heyman. You know what I mean? But, like, love me.
In a wheelbarrow, and just take Heyman out and be like,
I'm your guy. You know what I mean? But the point I'm making is, if they're going to allow Reigns to beat Lesnar in Saudi Arabia, you think that they're going to have Big E Langston beat Reigns in Survivor Series in America? Not a hope.
Well, as you said, it depends on what the network and what Peacock want, maybe.
No, Vince, yeah, but Vince's hard on matters more than that else. You know,
Peacock asked for a 6-man tag, I'm just throwing it out there. So yeah. I think we're all good.
Vince is attracted to this man, and he's not gonna let go of him until he goes to Hollywood.
And listen, he's absolutely right to be attracted to him.
What 100%. We're all attracted to him. No, he's 100% right. That's not a knock. That's Vince is 100% right here in this situation. Yeah. Roman is literally a specimen that comes around. Listen, people have been, you know, CM Punk was kind of the last one, but it wasn't because he looked like a million bucks. It was because
because he didn't.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, some may say, fucking, he might be a doppelganger of mine. So you relax there with the looks. He looks great. I'm just saying he didn't look like The Rock.
Is there no Seth Davis in Bray that people would say that?
I don't live in Bray. I couldn't tell you. and if there was, I wouldn't get it to you.
Hold on. I'm just on my way to get to the kitchen to get the pepper for with that salt.
Did you like that? No, but all joking aside, Punk was kind of the last guy that was with, but he carved that path for himself with his mouth. Do you know what I mean? And then with his work. Whereas when we're talking about stars, like we had Hogan, then we had Rock and Austin. They came at the same time. That was like Ronaldo and Messi.
Big Game John.
Yeah. Big Game John then. You know what I mean? He came in the aftermath of that. And now you have fucking Roman. I mean, Roman is probably the prettiest of the lot of them, isn't he?
He's the standout one, all right, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Well, man, it's been a pleasure previewing Survivor Series 2021 coming at you from the Barclays on Sunday evening. No doubt we will wait with bated breath for this one. I'm looking forward to those two main events anyway. These are going to be stellar, I'd say.
I think I'm going to get a bottle of Grey Goose for Sunday night just because I know it's so expensive in the Barclays Centre. So if I get it retail over here, I can just sip away and I won't give a fuck, man.
You know what? I might join you on Sunday night. I might just drop over to Rahini on Sunday night and I'm going to just have a bottle each.
Listen, man. It's the way to roll.
There'll be about 20 podcasts between the two of us from our phones. None of which could be aired.
Well, until next time, man. Dynamo Podcast Network on YouTube, Spotify for audio version show. This has been your 4 Podmen preview Survivor Series 2021. A pleasure, man, as always. Cheers.
Absolutely.
Thanks, brothers.